So we have a lot of folks on Zoom tonight, still a lot of people out, so I see lots of them on the computer, so that's nice that we can do that. So sorry about getting a little bit late start. Dakin is making copies for the lesson, so if you don't have a copy, some will be coming shortly. So if you could raise your hand and if you need a copy of the questions, we'll give those to you.
No problem. No. You need this one?
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I think everybody that needs a copy has one. So we'll go ahead and get started. And I didn't ask anybody to do the prayer. Tucker, would you mind doing the prayer this morning? Oh, wait.
Is the Zoom muted?
Just unmuted it for the second time.
It's become unconnected again. Deconnected. No longer connected. It's rejected.
It was fine when I was up here.
It worked last week. So, I don't know. So, we'll have a prayer and then we will, and that's not working either at the moment. So, I'm not sure why. But, Tucker, if you would, please, sir.
Let's pray. Gracious.
So, not real sure. Ben, do you have any idea why this would not be showing? Should I try that other one?
Yeah.
I don't think I used this one last time anyway. I think it was that one.
Yeah, I think this will work.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, sorry about a little bit slow start there. Let me move my stuff. We need a bigger podium, apparently. All the computers and stuff. Hey, look at that. That's not what I intended, but that's nice. That's not what shows on my screen. So, let's see. That's interesting.
see.
See
the monitor. We just lost it.
So last week I came up Tuesday night and made sure everything worked, you know. So now I thought I was an expert, and that's what I get. That's what I get.
Run. I just skipped over you again.
That's all right. Oops. I can't. And I think I had my mouse last time too, which makes it easier. Maybe it's just not presenting, right? Like if I go to slideshow. There it goes. It should show up now. Okay, well, if it doesn't, then we'll just... It's going to sleep or something. Who knows? Oh, hey, there's Jonah. Well, it's a book about Jonah, anyway. So, so tonight it'll be a little bit different. I did too much talking last time, and the clock is like very super aggressive when you're up here. I don't know why, because when I'm sitting there, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But, whoops, okay, anyway. So tonight we're going to try to go through the questions and have more class participation, and so that's what we'll do. But just as a kind of a quick recap, we know that Jonah's a very short book, right? It's 40 verses basically tell the story, and 8 verses of a prayer while a fella's in the belly of a fish. So it's a very short book, and a lot of times people think of the VeggieTale version of Jonah and the prophet, and that's what we think of, right? So most people in America or around the world, they'd probably see this, and you see the whale smiling, and there's Jonah, he's smiling too. Hey. So that's kind of what maybe people think of when they think of Jonah. It's a very well-known story, but often a children's story. But we know as we get into the book of Jonah and we start really studying it, it's not a children's book at all. And in fact, it's a very complex book, although it be very short. So we started delving into some of that complexity. And we talked about the fact that the book has a lot of satire in it. A lot of irony is embedded within this book, some humor and some pretty scary things too. So everything's very extreme in this book, and so we talked about that, and you see some satire there when you have the man of God, but he really doesn't seem to be the good guy. And then you got the bad guys, and they turn out to really kind of be good guys. So it's just, as I described it, the book seems to be inside out, upside down, like what is right is left and left is right. So it's really bizarre that way. And we also noted that the book starts off like other books of the prophets, because the word of the Lord came to, and then you read about the prophecy. And in fact, this book doesn't do that. Again, it's inside out or upside down. And the book is about the prophet and not the prophecy. So we talked a little bit about that as well. And it's funny because last week I was trying to go really fast and stuff, but I only got through the end of chapter 1. But so we'll do better tonight, because we've got to go to chapter 4 by tonight. I told Lori, I said, well, I'll just go 3 weeks because Jeff Smith has COVID. He's got to be quarantined before he can come back for next Wednesday, so I'll just use next Wednesday. And she said, you're going to be in Texas. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So I'll do my best. And so we talked a little bit about the way Jonah acted And so we'll get into that with the questions here in just a little bit, of as well as we describe Jonah and kind of what happened with him. And one of the questions in here, and I don't remember which one, and maybe it's on the back side. We talked about where these places are, right? So Jonah started off, and you probably can't see it because it's really small, but Jonah started off here, and he was supposed to go here, but he didn't. He actually went down to Joppa, and then he hitched a ride and headed. He was going to head west, right? Or he was heading west. And we talked about the fact that this is 2,500 miles over there. It's a long ways. I had no idea it was that far. Benny told me. He Googled it. Then I read it, too, so I did confirm his Googleness. But it goes all the way out to the west there, and as we know, back then, that was the kind of the known world at that time. And I guess that's the Atlantic Ocean on the other side, right? So that's like the end of the world as far as they're concerned. And so that's where he was going. And I said he's getting out of God's jurisdiction, right? If I can get on the other side, outside of the world, known world, I'm going to be outside of God's jurisdiction. But so we talked a little bit about that as well. And then we saw Jonah boarding the ship. He's pretty stoked because he's got him a cruise now, Carnival or whatever they would have been called back then. And that thing like quit right after you left. So I'm not gonna like look at it because it'll distract me. But so he's happy because he's getting out of town, but fast, right? So he's doing that, and he's gonna head to Tarshish, which we learned was way, way out west. And we also talked about when he was out there, obviously he was not doing the will of the Father. And we talked about how everything in this book is really big. So technology, like, it's great or it's horrible, right? Usually I have the latter experience with technology. It's like, just give me a truck with crank up windows, and I'll change it to the points in it every now and then, the plugs. Anyway, for young people, they have no idea what I just said. But we talked about how everything is extreme in this book, right? So everything's huge, or Jonah's super happy, or he's really ticked off. And in this here, we saw that the sea became very tempestuous, is what my version says, the English Standard Version. I don't know what the others say, but it's big, right? Huge waves. So everything's huge, it's big, it's just really out there. We talked about how bad this was. So these are very experienced sailors, right? And they're scared, they're frightened, to the point where they think they're going to die. This is their last day on God's green earth, right? And so they are all praying to their own little G's, trying to figure out which one they made mad to get them out of this tight spot. But Jonah's asleep. He went down into the boat, and he's down there sleeping. And so we talked a little bit about that. And through this story, we saw, very graphic language being used through this to describe how big and how bad, and the people were really bad, and they were the worst people, and stuff like that. So we got to that point, and I think this is where we stopped when Jonah loses his first class cruise, which was done at his request, we know. So anyway, I'm not going to like keep talking about this like I did last time, because then the clock will be done and we won't cover the questions. So, and it's already 7:15 because I messed with technology for a while. But I would like to get into the questions, and I think we'll cover a lot of this stuff in here. And Jonah, I think there's a lot we can learn from him, and we'll have some things on this as well. But if you were here last time, we read through all the verses of the book. It didn't take very long. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to read that book, and maybe you read it again, I don't know. But we'll go ahead and jump off into the questions, and some of these I think we've already addressed, But one of the things that I'd like to do is go ahead and just try to get through a couple more of these slides, and then we'll jump off into these questions. And we can talk as much or as little as you want. If you talk a little bit, then we'll get done really early. And Levi's speaking tonight, so he might need extra time. I don't know. Maybe 30 minutes or some, 20, 15, something. So anyway, yeah, we see through this that you can kind of feel the excitement. You know, when we read through this, you can feel the excitement of the sailors, right, through this phase of the journey here. And they're all crying out, right? They're all crying out to their gods. It's all excited. You can see, like, the Allstate Mayhem guys on this boat. And they start throwing their cargo over, right? Because they think this is it. They're dying. And so that's their livelihood, you know? They're throwing it overboard because money's not really so important at this point, right? When you're dying, that's one of those things that kind of goes like, yeah, I wish I'd have spent more time at home, less time in the office. Well, that's kind of where these guys were.
Hey, Ronnie, while you look at that picture, you mentioned how he had, he didn't use the word compassion, but he felt for those people. He didn't want them to get harmed, so he said, let me get off the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that he had compassion for these fellows, but he didn't have compassion or didn't show any for the people that God wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, after class, you know, I said last class, when I first started this, I was really super hard on Jonah. Like, this guy's a creep, you know? But the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, you know, I might be more like Jonah than I thought. And so when Scott and I were talking a little bit about it after class, and he says, yeah, it would be like in World War II, you know, a Jew having to be dropped into Germany and go save the Germans, right? And that's probably kind of, you know, Jonah probably had family members or folks that he knew that were impacted by those people, right? So it was probably close to home for him. And so that probably motivated him to disobey God, you know, and try to run the other way. So, yeah, but you're right. These were heathen people. They weren't his people, but yet he had compassion on them. And so, you know, it's kind of, again, it's kind of ironic what happens here in this part of the story, in that we see that the sailors go to Yahweh, and they ask Yahweh for forgiveness, right? So this is the first mention of anybody going to Yahweh. So, because it's big L, right? Big L is Yahweh, big G, whatever. And so these people were going to Yahweh, so the God of heaven, because Jonah says, I'm from the, you know, the Hebrew, the God, I believe in the God that made the land and the sea and whatever, right? And so they're very fearful, and so they go to Yahweh. So, and I think that's a little bit of hypocrisy, if you will, because you see the religious guy, is he going to God? Like, hey, this ship's sinking, right? But he doesn't. But I think he knew, hey, the only way to make this thing subside is you guys throw me overboard. But they go to Yahweh. Well, before they do that, what do the sailors do before they go to Yahweh? They try to remedy the situation themselves, right? Before they kick the guy off the cruise, what do?
Get
cargo. Yeah, they're dumping cargo, right? And then they're dumping cargo, but that's still not helping, right? And remember, they're asking Jonah, who are you? What'd you do? Where are you from? You know, they know something's going on here that's from a higher power. But before they finally kick him overboard, what do?
Yeah, so they, like, it's interesting the order of events is because they first cast lots and they find out who's to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they find out that it's Jonah to blame, they're not ready to punish him.
Right.
You know, they're still going to try to row back to land, and then they're very sorry mm-hmm. when they do throw Jonah overboard, and they pray to Yahweh
mm-hmm.
to ask him, don't charge this against us. dynamic there. When it comes down to it, they've got the greatest compassion, I guess.
Yeah. The pagans. And they go to Yahweh. Yeah. So it is very interesting when you think about the order in which things happen. And so I think, you know, did Jonah's words and proclamation meet his actions? Yeah, so I don't know. that, and I think sometimes that can happen to us as well. But so now Jonah, he's like, I'm going to die. Just throw me over. So he was, either that's going to help him succeed in his getting away from his charge from God, right? I'm just going to die. And so he's looking to get maybe further away from God. I don't know. Would that be the ultimate, right? So from his perspective, at least he wouldn't have to go to Nineveh because he's in the bottom of the ocean. But so where do you think Jonah's heart was then? As he just, well, one, it was compassion for the sailors. But I think he was just willing to just give up, right? And so, yeah, the sailors tried to row back to land, but what happened? So they're trying, they're working hard, you know? They're trying to save themselves and everybody, right? They're working hard. You can imagine. They're frantic, right? Is it successful? No, it's not. What happens? The sea gets more what? The word that my version says. Yes. It's bigger. It's worser. It's really B-A-D, underlined, bold. So it just gets worse. So it became even more fierce. And so that's when the sailors said, look, they came together and they agreed, let's just throw the guy over, right? Let's do what he says. Let's grow. So so they throw the guy over, and what happens? Just calm, right? It's like probably, I imagine it's just like placid waters, you know? So, kind of like when Jesus was asleep in the boat, you know, and he, you know, Jonah and him got something in common because Jonah's down there sleeping too. He's sawing logs during this. I don't know how, but he was. So, but yeah, so it just, the seas are calm, right? So, and again, ironically, how did the sailors react to this calming of the water? Remember, they're pagan. Yeah, so they did, right? And so as they made sacrifices, they may not have done it right then on the boat, because probably the last thing you want to do is start a big fire on the boat now in the middle. So I'm sure they carried on with their journey or whatever they had left of whatever, and so whenever they got to their destination, then they would have, you know, made this probably fire and did sacrifices to Yahweh. So, and again, I think, you know, that's again part of the irony of this book, because they're the ones, they were the first ones to pray to Yahweh in this story. And then they do sacrifices to Yahweh. But the prophet of God's not doing this. So that's why, again, this thing's upside down, inside out. So, you know, and there's Jonah, lost his slipper. That's the least of his worries. So it's kind of interesting when I was studying this. I don't know what kind of fish that is, and nobody else does either. But a lot of the VeggieTales, it's the whale, right? And sometimes I go, oh, yeah, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Why did I say that? Because that's what the VeggieTale version is, right? And I mentioned that I watched the VeggieTales in preparation for this class and learned that it wasn't really good for preparation. So it was not factual in that I'm sure the tomato wasn't involved. And then I forgot. Well, it doesn't matter, but it was kind of funny show. So if you didn't see it, you want to look at it. You Google it. It's like 20 minutes. It's really funny. But there's Jonah. He's floating. He's going down, right? And in the scriptures, it says he's floating to the, something I hate to mess with, I'm digging in the yard or the garden. He's going down to the roots of the, Susie, you know that, mountains, right? She was looking at me, and she's like, mountains. So he's going down to the root of the mountains. Yeah, so he's about to die, right? But God creates an escape for Jonah. And so what is the escape for Jonah? One of the kids can answer this question. So one of the kids want to answer the question? What was the escape that God provided for Jonah? It's not a whale, but could be, I suppose. Probably a big, something I like to do, I hadn't got to do in a while. It's the verb of the thing that you're trying to, the noun, fish, that's right. Woo, I was running out of clues. Scales, fried up in a pan. So fish, yeah, so God does this, and God appoints a fish. He appoints a fish. And that's something that I think is really neat in this story, because if we start off in chapter 1, there's different language, and here's more technology. It's like, please put your password in. I'm like, really? In chapter 1 and verse 4, but the Lord hurled, or he provided, he appointed a great wind upon the sea. Right? In chapter 4, we see that. And then in verse 17, and did I say chapter 4? I meant verse 4 of chapter 1. My mouse moving faster than my brain, which is a common problem now. And then in verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish, right? So we see God involved in this very heavily. So he appointed a great fish. Now, in studying for this class again, everybody had an opinion on what kind of fish this was. And it's like they were like debating about the fish. And they're like, who cares about the fish? But a lot of people do. And so, and it goes to people saying, hey, this is a book that's just a parable. This is a fictitious book. Why do you say it? Well, there's no fish that can swallow a human and somebody lived there for 3 days. Oh, wait, I just gave the answer, kids. Sorry, I was going to have you answer that. Question, how many days? How many days? Three. How many nights?
Three.
So they said there's no fish out there that can do that, but there is a whale that has three stomachs and blah, 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 blah. And the way I look at it is, look, God made a donkey talk, right? So if he can do that, he can make a fish that's, I don't know, maybe it's got air conditioning and a couch. I don't know, but it really doesn't matter. The fact is that God appointed a great fish, and that was the great escape for Jonah. And so, you know, as we look at this, Jonah, I'm surely has in his own mind, like, this is it, right? And if you quit at the end of chapter 2, this is a really, you know, it's bad for Jonah. You know, it's like, it's a bummer. Bummer for Jonah. He's dying. This is it, right? I mean, and that's how I'd think if I was like in the ocean. It's like, this is it. So up to this point, we talked about Jonah's kind of being a wrecking ball, right? Or he's like this big problem for everybody, and he probably didn't even realize it, right? He's causing all these problems for all these other people. But now he's very aware, very awake at this point. And so at his point or moment of death, we learn that he's like very aware now, and he's about to turn his life around, right? So it's going to be restored. So, and when we get into, I think it's 8 verses that's dedicated to his prayer. It's been called like even poetry. It's very eloquent. He begins to get in touch with God in this, and so he knows like he's utterly powerless at this point. So it's dire. for him. And one thing, as we read through the story, you know, Jonah went down to Joppa, right? He went down. And then when he got in a boat, it said he went down into the boat. You know, and I kept reading down, down, down. Jonah's going down, down, down. Well, he went down in the water, down to the roots of the mountain. He went down in the fish. You know, he's just going down, down, down. And really, Jonah has hit bottom, right? This is it. So he's hit bottom. And as he does that, he has an acute awareness, I think, of what's going on, where he then utters this prayer to God that we'll get into a little bit as well. And so that happens to a lot of people, right? Ourselves too. Things get really bad, get rough. We go to God, right? We go to Yahweh. And so Jonah was doing that. And so at this point, God gives him salvation through a fish. So and Jesus actually talked about this in Matthew, right? He brings up Jonah in Matthew. So that's one of those points where you can say, well, if it was a fictitious story and Jesus mentioned it in chapter 16 of Matthew, it helps give legitimacy to the story. So a more of a historical perspective. So Jonah's going down. He's hitting rock bottom. There he is. Jonah has an encounter with his own death. That's a really big fish. But anyway, he's understands he's facing the consequences of his selfish behavior, right? He's in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So, you know, can you imagine that? I try to, like, put myself in the story, and I'm like, I can't imagine that. That's just, like I said, the story is just way out there. Everything's really bizarre. It's a bizarre book, but it's really cool. So, you know, you can see Jonah there. He's surrounded by whatever's floating in the whale. You know, I'm sure it's very dark in there, too. So he's just in a bad way right now. He's about to die. So, and so you think the story's over, right, for Jonah. It's like, this is done. He's finished. This is it. You know, too bad for Jonah. So, and that's kind of how chapter 2 ends. So in this really crazy story, right? So it's just really over the top. And I mentioned, you know, Clayton was talking about the other night about science providing, you know, biblical things or not. So again, there's the debate about what kind of fish it was, et cetera, and people try to do that, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, so when we get into the eight verses that in there, we go locked up with the technology again. So Jonah's in chapter 2, that's his prayer, right? And it's, as I said, it's very good. We read that last week, but he prays to God in a very poetic way. And Jonah's completely humbled by God while trapped and confined in the belly of this fish. So very humbling for sure. And, you know, we can, I think, learn in this imagery here that in our own lives we can kind of be, like, consumed by life and things get kind of dark and desperate for us, and Jonah was in that way too. And so we too can humble ourselves and go to God. God will give us salvation. So it's like we go to God when we're in times of stress. Jonah did that too, right? So we read that. And I think about, like, Daniel, right? He prayed to God when he's in the lion's den and they were going to eat him, right? But he prayed. I'm sure he was in great stress. But God provides for Jonah and Daniel, for that matter, what you might call severe mercy. That's what I called it. That's severe mercy. And that. So he's in a bad way. But That fish just looks really aggressive, doesn't it? So that fish is vomiting. That's what my version says of fish. Again, God appoints the fish. He appoints the fish to vomit. And there goes Jonah. And I'm not real sure where this fish vomited Jonah, but I hope it was closer to Nineveh. It doesn't say. But God hears the prayer of Jonah. Right? And so Jonah provided the storm, he provided the fish, and he provided the vomiting, etc., right? So God provides a way, and this is the way Jonah, was saved. It's, like I said, very bizarre, very bizarre. And put him on dry land, so I don't know if Jonah could swim. It didn't matter, because he got threw up on dry land. So there he is, there's Jonah. And we know that Jonah finally delivers his sermon. We don't know how long it took him to get there. It was 500 miles that we decided last week from his starting point anyway to Nineveh. I think it was roughly 500 or 600 miles, so that's a long ways. And wherever he got spit out by the fish, it still would be quite a trek, I'm sure, even if it was in the northern part of the sea, because Nineveh was way kind of east, northeast, right, way out there. And and we have this sermon that's recorded for us, and it's mentioned last week. It's like 7 to 8 word sermon, right? There could have been more. I don't know. That's just all that's recorded. And in Hebrew, I'm told that's 5 words. I don't read Hebrew. I don't know it. But I do know English, and I counted, and it was 7 words in one version and 8 in another, so very short. What was the message? What was Jonah preaching? What did God tell Jonah to preach to the Ninevites? Everybody knows this, so.
30 days, Nineveh will be
overthrown. Yes. So it's not going to look too good for y'all, right? So he's out telling them. So this is interesting, and so we have that very short sermon recorded. And what is the response from these wicked people?
Like, they
believe
God.
Yeah, right. So they took it to heart, to the point that the scripture says they did what? Anthony? Yeah, right. So they dressed in sackcloth, which is a sign of humility, right? And even their leader did, and he had a proclamation that everybody dress in sackcloth, and they were to do more than just that, though. What else were they supposed to do? Mm-hmm. So he tells him, "Hey, you guys, cut it out, right? Cut it out and repent." And so, again, this does this surprise you? It does me. Like, really? It's like the most powerful nation. You know, they've been just crushing nations all around them, right? And but yet they respond very positively to the message. So these wicked people, they took heed to the warning from God. So do you think Jonah was surprised by the results? Yeah. What'd Jonah do later? He goes for 3 days, right? Wasn't it 3 days that he was doing this? No, I've forgotten. Anyway, he walked around, he went from one end to the other. It was a 3-day journey across town, I guess, is what where the 3 days come. But everybody got the message, and then Jonah gets out of town, but not very far. So he does what? He's going to watch a show, and this is going to be good, because I know it's going to be disaster, right? Or, sometimes I like, well, maybe he's going to watch and see what happens. And why hang around if he thought it was all going to be rosy? I don't know. Except that later, when he gets a sort of a spat with God, it kind of, I'm like, well, maybe I'm mistaken about that. But anyway, he was there to see a show, right? So, and so we know that he built a, I don't know what, I've forgotten the word. It's the shelters. What is it? Yep. And so he does that stupid clock. Don't use that word, kids. Sorry. It's a very fast clock. All right. So we know Jonah builds this thing, and he's gonna watch a show, but that's, you know, we don't see the devastation coming on the city because they repented. God gave them a second chance, if you will. So he gave them mercy. He showed them mercy. And wow. Okay. So I got like 2 minutes left. This is crazy. I said I was gonna do so much better too. Need another Wednesday. So what was Jonah's reaction to God's calling? He fled, right? So this is just a real quick synopsis in 2 minutes. Oh, great. So about 8:30. So we know Jonah just fled, right? He didn't do what God said. God reacted to that. God was very involved in this. We described Nineveh, right? They were very bad people. They skinned people. They were just horrible. So that's what we know about that. What was Jonah's reaction to God's calling? Why did he respond that way? And I think we kind of learn more about that towards the end of the book, right? The very last of the chapter 4. Jonah has a spat with God. Somebody want to give us sort of a summary of what that conversation was? Peyton, you want to give a shot at that? He was having a spat with God, basically, right?
Talking about the plant issue?
Yes. So God continues to show mercy, even to Jonah, right? But Jonah gets ticked off at God when the plant dies. And then God says, why are you so mad about this plant? Basically, he's trying to teach Jonah a lesson, right? Hey, isn't it a bigger deal that I'm trying to save 120,000, 40,000 people than this worm that ate, you know, the plant with the worm ate? So it's really interesting. We see the power of God displayed through this book. I mean, it's pretty amazing all through this book. We know how Jonah's travel plans worked out. It didn't, right? There were a lot of extraordinary events that occur through this very short reading. It's just packed in there. It's very, you can make, you know, a couple movies out of it. In just a few verses, and that's why, like, I got to end of chapter 1 and the whole class was gone, because there's just a lot in there that it's really exciting. Was Jonah's mission successful after all? And it was, right? It was very successful, but Jonah was ticked off about that success, and so to whom should the credit go? It goes to God, right? So God made this happen. Who offered the first prayer? We read about that. It was the heathens, right? The pagans. And when did Jonah then pray to God? That's when he was in rock bottom, right? There was nothing left. He was gone. He was dying in that fish. And so he does pray to God. And God listens to him and provides him an escape. And the question 11... In here, what attributes of God are on display through this story? Right? We see great compassion, right? Mercy, long-suffering, absolutely. So we see God very patient. Is there a limit to God's patience? What was he going to do to the Ninevites if they didn't repent? He was going to destroy them, right? He'd had enough of these people. But he was going to give them one more shot, one more chance. Whatever, yeah.
Master. So I knew you to be exactly who you were, but, and it's the exact same thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that you would forgive. I knew that you would be merciful. That's why I fled, which is just completely counterproductive to the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of interesting.
Because the prophet didn't show that love and compassion and that mercy, even through the end of the story, right? And then the story just ends. And I went, no, what happened to Jonah, right? So it's a very, very interesting book, a very interesting study. I hope you got something out of reading through that again. And I'll do better with time management maybe in the future. But it's really a neat story. And I think through this, we can see that it's really not a children's story. It's a very adult story. It's often told in the VeggieTale version, which is okay. It gets kids acclimated to the story somewhat, but it has very mature messages in here. And, you know, one thing that I thought about, too, if you think you're so bad that God can't love you and save you, think about the Ninevites, right? Because they were the baddest people on the planet at that time, and we saw God's patience and forgiveness and grace, and we too can have that if we ask for that. So I would say if we repent, we'll be saved. These people did, and they were the baddest people, and they were saved. So anyway, there's a lot of cool messages in that book, and I'm going to turn it over to Levi now, but I thank you guys for listening to me, and again, I learned a lot from this, so appreciate that.